week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Let's kick off with a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Lionel Messi. The Barcelona football star achieved another career milestone Wednesday to help lift his club to a 3-0 victory over Liverpool in the first leg of their UEFA Champions League semifinal. Joining us now with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Leo Messi had 598 goals under his belt when he walked into his first leg semifinal match, and he capped it off in the second half. His first goal sent Messi's tally to 599 and Barcelona up 2-0, but it was his free kick in the 82nd minute that was pure magic. Messi curled the ball past the wall and the outstretched hand of goalie Alisson Becker and into the top corner of the net. That spectacular kick marks Messi's 600th goal, sealed a victory for Barcelona, and set social media on fire. One tweet summed it up: just when you think you've seen it all, Lionel Messi took the game to a whole new level. Liverpool coach Jurgen Klopp spoke at a news conference afterwards, and despite losing the match, Klopp could not hide his amazement on Messi's 600th goal.
Yeah, in his moments, he's unstoppable, obviously. We couldn't defend the free kick. What a strike. And he's a world-class player. He's outstanding. The second goal was probably not the nicest. The 2-0 was not the nicest goal in a career of Lionel Messi, but it shows his skills, that he's even there, ball, crossbar, and then he's there in that moment. But apart from that, I was happy how we defended the whole Barca team and Lionel involved. I'm a big admirer of him.
Messi scored his 600th goal 14 years to the day since making his very first goal for Barcelona, May 1st, 2005. Barcelona now has a commanding lead heading into Tuesday's second leg at Anfield. Jurgen Klopp says it could be tough for Liverpool to bounce back from Wednesday's scoreless match.
Before this game, we had a bigger chance, let me say it like this. Look, it's difficult. What can I say to it's Barcelona, and if they can play for counterattacks, that doesn't help us a lot. That's difficult to avoid. Because it's football, we should still try.
Liverpool is hoping to reach a consecutive Champions League final and shake off last season's loss to Real Madrid in that final match. Rounding out the final four, Ajax heads into their second leg following Tuesday's 1-0 victory over Tottenham. The win edges the Dutch side a little closer to a first European Cup final in 23 years. The 2019 UEFA Champions League final match is set for June. And that's all from me. Back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African football news, Tanzania's Nigerian coach Emmanuel Amunike has included 15-year-old Kelvin John Pius in his initial 39-player squad for next month's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt. Kelvin clearly impressed Coach Amunike at the Africa Under 17 Cup of Nations, which Tanzania hosted last month. Kelvin scored a goal in Tanzania's opening 5-4 loss to Nigeria, and he also played in losses to Uganda and Angola. Coach Amunike says, and I quote, "I believe it's time we start to build a team and think of the future. We need to start to think of the youth and see how we can start to integrate them in the system." Coach Amunike also points out how Tanzania has an African Nations Championship qualifier against Sudan a week after the Nations Cup in Egypt. He says his technical staff is planning how the team can switch straight to CHAN, the African Nations Championship, after the Nations Cup. At the Nations Cup, the Taifa Stars of Tanzania will be in Group C for the first round, along with Senegal, Algeria, and Kenya. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Coach Amunike reacted to Tanzania's Nations Cup grouping.
If we have qualified for the AFCON, we shouldn't be expecting easy ride. We must prepare ourselves to play. The whole 24 teams that qualified, they all have equal opportunity. But of course, we have to wait. The tournament has to start. Then from there, we start seeing how things go.
Talking about preparations, how soon do you intend to go to camp for the AFCON tournament?
Well, we'll go to camp very soon. You know, the league is ending by May, towards the ending of May. And after the league ends, the players also, they need their own space to see family and rest a little bit. But of course, our thoughts and our thinking goes towards our preparation. Preparation, what is preparation? Preparation is for you to prepare your team from a psychological point of view to technical and tactical point of view, so your players can be able to be in a position to compete. I think this was the key word. Any other thing, I don't know, preparation, you can also gather and just make a bunch of friends and then go to play. But of course, the reality is that if we want to be able to make something meaningful, we must prepare.
Do you have injury worries as you prepare for the AFCON tournament?
You don't think about that, but of course, those are things that you cannot, it's beyond your control. We pray injury not to come. We pray that our players can continue to play in their various clubs, and then when they come, they will be ready to compete. This is the first time most of them will be going to AFCON. So it's a very big opportunity to our players. It's a very big opportunity to we, Tanzania. And hopefully, like I keep on saying, you know, we'll be at the best to give the very good account of ourselves when the time comes.
What is the mood in Tanzania as the team prepares to go to Egypt to play their matches?
Well, the mood is that everybody is happy that after a very long time, they will be part of the event in Egypt by June. People are making their plans to come and support the team.
That's Emmanuel Amunike, the 1994 African Footballer of the Year and the head coach of Nations Cup-bound Tanzania. I know our many listeners in Dar es Salaam are saying, "Go Taifa Stars! Go Taifa Stars!" as they prepare for Egypt 2019. And Coach Amunike spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In more Africa Cup of Nations football news, referees who will officiate the big tournament in Egypt are attending a workshop this week in Rabat, Morocco. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, says it invited 27 referees and 29 assistant referees to take part in the Rabat workshop. CAF says the officials will be updated on the latest trends, rules, and developments in football. They also will undergo medical and physical tests and will take theoretical and practical courses under the supervision of CAF experts and lecturers. I'm sure the officials will also learn more about video assistant referees. The VAR system will be used for the first time in the tournament. The 32nd Africa Cup of Nations will kick off June 21st in Cairo, where Egypt will host Zimbabwe in the opening match. The final will be played July 19th in Cairo. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Rugby is one of Kenya's most popular sports, and the country's national team has played in the World Cup. Inspired by the national team's success, members of Kenya's deaf community launched a deaf rugby team last year. Members of the team say they have big dreams for the future. They spoke through an interpreter to Sarah Kimani in Nairobi.
Martin Kaisovia travels an hour every Sunday to practice with his rugby team. But Kaisovia is no ordinary player on an ordinary team. He is deaf, as are all of his teammates.
When I was growing up, there was no deaf rugby. But I used to see that people like joining new things. Then I decided, let me go with a new thing. So this is a deaf rugby team in Kenya.
Deaf rugby is the same as a regular game, except referees use a cloth to draw players' attention. The team brings together Kenya's deaf community and helps to fight stigma linked with being deaf. Maurice Okwach formed the team and the Kenya Deaf Rugby Association to support it.
But Kenya, we only, the people who are hearing are the ones who have a rugby team. So we thought, let's copy South Africa also, let's form our team. And then we wrote to the World Deaf Rugby, and then they told us, go ahead, and we formed it.
Deaf rugby teams also exist in South Africa, Australia, Canada, and England, and the sport is represented at the Deaf Olympics. When finding a rugby coach in Kenya who was also deaf proved a challenge, local player Brennan Rashid stepped in.
I have seen the progress. I've seen them taking it step by step, going places with it. I have seen them getting a proper understanding of the game, and that's just the best thing that I can give.
The team does not have any sponsors or official support and has yet to play a real game. But the players are aiming to compete at the next Deaf Olympics in 2021.
Let's get a gold medal. We must. That is my dream. And also we must bring a trophy. We must. I know Kenya, for the hearing, they are strong. So even for us as the deaf rugby team, we want to emulate them. We want to become as strong and as firm as they are.
For now, Kenya's deaf rugby team keeps training, their eyes firmly fixed on the prize. Sarah Kimani for VOA News, Nairobi.
Thanks, Sarah. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson joins us now with a package of tennis, golf, and basketball news. And Jim says he'll begin with a 25-year-old tennis player from Austria.
A young rising star is quickly becoming one of the top players in tennis.
It means so much to me to win here because it's a really special tournament, amazing tournament. Only the greatest players in the history won here. Rafa 11 times, of course, then Thomas Muster, which means a lot to me that I'm the second Austrian to be on the trophy as well.
Dominic Thiem of Austria stormed to the Barcelona Open title, thrashing Russian Daniil Medvedev 6-4, 6-love in the final. He went through five tough opponents, including Spanish great Rafael Nadal in the semifinals, all without dropping a set.
Well, that doesn't really mean something to me. It means way more to me that I beat five really good opponents. That's amazing to me that I win this special tournament in Barcelona. I'm here for the fifth time, and I always dreamed of winning here, so that's amazing. And of course, the win gives me also a lot of confidence for the upcoming week.
Medvedev also had a solid tournament and is pleased he's being challenged hard every week.
I think I'm getting more consistent on every surface, and it's good for me. I hope I can continue improving every day. That's my goal, and that's when you improve, when you beat these top players.
Thiem lost the French Open final to Nadal last year, but denied perhaps the best clay court player ever the opportunity to become the first man to capture the same ATP title 12 times. Thiem says he's had a tough time following big wins. Now he thinks that trend is changing.
Yeah, I had some troubles the last years after a huge win against a top opponent to keep it up, but I improved in this department, I guess, and didn't start it well, but it was a complete different game against Daniil. And then after 0-3, I started to play better, to make the things better, which hurting him, I think, the slice, because otherwise he's hardly missing. and that was a good tactic.
It's on to Madrid for team and the rest of the field.
Next week is starting new. They are all stars again there in Madrid, so it's going to be really tough again. But I'm full of confidence right now, of course, and I love the tournament in Madrid. Played good tennis there the last 2 years, so I try to keep it up and keep going.
Team remains at number 5 in the world rankings, just behind Roger Federer of Switzerland. Novak Djokovic of Serbia is currently ranked number 1, with Nadal at number 2 and German Alexander Zverev 3rd. That order may begin to shuffle as the clay season rolls on.
It's hard to describe, you know. It's been a long road. I love it. It's been a hard work. And just believing I could win, it took me a while, but I finally did it.
Jorge Campillo has come close many times, but the Spaniard has finally claimed a European Tour title at the Trophy Hassan II tournament in Morocco.
It's been way too long, you know, I've been there so way too many times, but I guess when I have my better chance, I took it, so I'm just proud right now the way I finished, so... I don't know, it just feels great.
Even with the win, Campillo says he wasn't at his best.
I was tough. I didn't play good. I didn't have my A game today. I missed so many shots at first. But I hung in there. I parried great towards the end of the round. I was able to finish with a couple birdies. So just finishing like you're supposed to is nice.
It was a good day for runner-up Julian Suri. The American finished 2 shots behind.
Today was honestly the best ball striking. I figured something out last night when I was sleeping subconsciously. Funny how this thing works.
In fact, he had one of his best tournaments overall.
To have 4 under par rounds, it's something that I didn't have in India. And, you know, on a course like this where it demands so much from you, tee to green and on the greens, definitely huge steps forward. And for me to be bogey-free in the final round to maintain that sort of composure is definitely something... first for this year, so it's definitely a trend I'd like to keep going forward.
Suri is hoping to keep his momentum going.
Hopefully this sealed my spot to get into the PGA in a couple weeks, and then I'm looking forward to China. It's a really good course just like this one, and I'm excited. I just love competing, and I'm glad to be back here, and it's an energizing feeling, and it's brings the life out of me, really.
Golf moves to China this week at the popular Volvo Open in Shenzhen. Alexander Bjork of Sweden is the defending champion.
It's fun to see your face on posters everywhere and stuff. And it's a good feeling, and I look forward to the week.
Bjork feels he's in good shape to defend his title.
I had a decent week in Morocco, top 10 last week. Didn't play my best, but putted well. So if I can get the long game going as well, I think I have a good chance.
Alexander Levy of France is the most successful player in the event's history, with wins in 2014 and 2017.
When you have some good memories, it's nice to come back. You are really happy to come back. And when I saw the tournament in back to Genzon, I was really happy. And it's for that I'm here this week.
Li Haotong thrilled local fans in 2016 by winning the Volvo Open.
Yes, for sure. And of course, especially in Shenzhen, I will have a lot of friends come to see me and watch me play. And hopefully I can play some decent golf for them, and hopefully can hold a trophy again.
Lee says the tournament is a great showcase for Chinese golfers.
Yeah, I think for the China golf just being huge for us, you know, especially you can see other Chinese players just went on a PGA Tour web.com. So I think our game just being blow up.
Lee followed Wu Ashun, the 2016 champion.
Yeah, it's a very good memory for this tournament. You know, it's my first European win here in Volvo China Open. And in Zhenzhong also, I played that year in I think 2013 here in Volvo China Open 2. So it's a very good tournament to remember and very good tournament to come back to play.
For Wu and his compatriots, it's not only like playing at home, it is home.
Well, always good when we come back in China. Good food, good friends here, and everything is quite good, and you're going to enjoy here.
As players arrived, Bjork and Levy had different views of a welcoming dragon dance.
Haven't seen that stuff before, so yeah, it was good.
I like dancing, but not this kind of dance.
At at the White House this week.
It's my great honor to welcome to the White House the 2019 NCAA Women's Basketball National Champions, the Baylor Lady Bears, okay? And I watched that last game, and that was a tough, rough game with Notre Dame.
And the slimmest of wins, 82-81, to earn a third national championship, as President Trump noted, on the back of a nearly perfect record.
Lady Bears had a stunning 37-1 season. Wow.
President Trump also acknowledged the continuing achievements of Baylor coach Kim Mulkey.
In 18-plus seasons as the head coach, he's attained a 576 career victories and ranks number two among the winningest Division I head coaches.
As with other college teams who have made the visit to the White House recently, the Lady Bears were served fast food in the state dining room.
The lunch was good, by the way. Very good.
Awesome. Thank you.
Can't do better than
that. Awesome.
President Trump was presented with a Baylor basketball jersey, a team autographed basketball, and a hat.
I'll mess up my hair with this. That's it. It is mine.
And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that spicy sports package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Thursday night with a second round game in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's where the Philadelphia 76ers will host the Toronto Raptors. This best of seven series is tied at 1-1 after Philadelphia's 94-89 win in Toronto Monday night. In NBA playoff action Wednesday night, the Portland Trail Blazers scored a road victory to even their series with the Denver Nuggets. The AP's Randy Stahl reports from Denver, Colorado.
The Trailblazers build a 15-point halftime lead and withstand a fourth-quarter rally, beating the Nuggets 97-90 to even the playoff series 1-1. Denver gets as close as 5 points in the fourth quarter on the strength of 14 offensive rebounds. Portland has six players scoring double figures, led by C.J. McCollum's 20 points. McCollum says he was able to step up down the stretch.
I was just trying to be aggressive. I think that was the biggest thing. Take what the defense gives me. Obviously, you know, looking to score, but if it's not there, being aware of the weak side, being aware of the help defender, and trying to make the right play.
Denver's Nikola Jokic has a double-double with 16 points and 14 rebounds.
They didn't even play that good, to be honest. I mean, they can play really, I mean, better than that. So it was kind of a weird game where they more aggressive than we are.
The Nuggets scored just 12 second-quarter points, including missing all 10 three-point shots. Randy Stahl, Denver.
Thanks, Randy. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Portland's Nigerian forward, Al-Farouq Aminu, who had 11 points and a team-high 10 rebounds on Wednesday night in Denver. This is Aminu's ninth season in the NBA, and he's been giving back. Since 2016, Al-Farouq Aminu has organized a basketball camp in Ibadan, the capital of Nigeria's Oyo State. Before turning professional, Al-Farouq Aminu played college basketball for Wake Forest University, located in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And for our VOA sports fans keeping score, Wake Forest is also where longtime San Antonio Spurs star Tim Duncan played his college basketball. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the May 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sidrak Franklin. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
to.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists say for about the first half of Earth's history, there wasn't enough oxygen in the atmosphere to support complex life. Then between 2.3 and 2.5 billion years ago, a process called the Great Oxidation Event began to create the permanently oxygenated atmosphere that keeps us alive today. Previous research suggested small pockets of oxygen existed in the Earth's shallow oceans years earlier. Now, researchers at Arizona State University say they found evidence that suggests that significant amounts of oxygen were being produced and large-scale oxygenation processes took place in the oceans long before the Great Oxidation Event. Researchers made their findings by analyzing sedimentary rocks that were buried deep underground in Australia. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA.